Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this week's edition of the Texas Insider Show. I'm Jim Cardle. We're here every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 1, right here atop the worldwide headquarters of the Talk 1370 Right Choice Studio, talking about Texas and national politics, and appreciate you joining us on what's turning out to be, after a partly cloudy morning, kind of a socked in, and we can see the skyline of the downtown Austin cranes going, and the pitter-patter of the rain was on the windshield coming into the studio today. So enjoy it while we can. Hope you've got that fertilizer and everything down in the yard mode already this morning, but we'll give you a little cheap entertainment here in the interim talking about Texas and national politics. Check us out at texasinsider.org, folks, where we post about 10 to 15 articles any given day, keeping you on the inside of Texas politics. Also, be sure and check us out on Facebook and Twitter. It's just Texas Insider, where we got about 40,000 followers. I think we gained about 175 additional Facebook followers. That's a good week for us, frankly. I don't know about some of you others that may run some web pages around here in the city of Austin, but be sure and check us out at Texas Insider on Facebook and Twitter as well. And boy, howdy, what another week, both in Texas politics down at the state capitol and up in Washington, D.C. nationally. We're going to, as we've been doing here for the last 3 months, give or take a week, continue to be chronicling the activities down at the Texas legislature, since by all legitimate, and it's an accurate thing to say, that we are in the process of the most substantial legislative session probably since about 1980, 1979 is kind of the last time most folks say we really did a tax reform and a property tax rewrite and school finance update of this significance. And as we have before, we're pleased to be able to visit today with one of the preeminent tax and budget experts in the state, Dale Kramer from the Texas Taxpayers Research Association. Dale, appreciate you coming in today.
Happy to be here.
Got to get my tongue loosened up. But first, I want to delve in a little bit and tick off, because there were some national things that happened too of note. If you go to the Texas Insider page, texasinsider.org, you'll see up there we got a couple interesting headlines. There's a quote on the top left-hand column, on the record, Henry Cuellar, a congressman from San Antonio down to Laredo, said that there's been more than 51,000 illegal immigrants already just in this year. I think he said the fiscal year, which is last October through the end of April. 51,000 illegal immigrants have been dropped at this bus station in San Antonio. And I don't know, folks, if you're out Buda or Kyle, or even up in some of these Pflugerville and Georgetown, 51,000 people certainly is going to have an impact on your local streets, your local community services, your local community budgets, city budgets. It's really getting to be a more and more accepted and illustratable crisis, so to speak, down there. I saw earlier this week that Nancy Pelosi had kind of crawfished backwards on her statement claiming that she never said it was a manufactured crisis. But we've got some updates on the immigrant and the border security issue. The second story there is that 87.5% of illegal immigrant families have failed to show up for their court appearance. And I try to address this issue respectfully and give balance to it. But folks, we got problems in this country, and I think a lot of folks are going to be paying attention to that as we have. Again, that's another thing. We have two more Democrat candidates have declared for the presidency this week. We're up to 24 candidates. The governor of Montana, we'll all get to know him. I guess producer Dalen's behind the glass today, giving us a fist pump there for whoever the guy's name escapes me. Then New York City Mayor de Blasio, and I'm telling you, folks, if you believe what you saw on the media yesterday, a lot of people in New York City may even be glad to get rid of him because of some of the things that he's done up there, and analysts from left and right are kind of questioning and wondering what he's going to be running on. And at this point, I think you have to ask, what are some of these people running on? I've been asked that question more in the last 2 weeks than I have ever before, because you've never had this many people running for president. And there's a couple different reasons for that. The internet's changing the way people raise money. You don't have to depend on the national parties as much. The internet's changing the way people can communicate their messages. So you don't have to think about breaking through and trying. If you're the governor of Montana, it's a little bit more difficult. Steve Bullock, thank you, Dalen, from the governor of Montana. It's a little more difficult if you're the governor of Montana to break through and get onto CNN than it is if you're the mayor of New York City. So you've got the money aspect, you've got the media aspect, all being more accessible thanks to the internet. And basically, you've got the idea that Barack Obama came from nowhere to win the presidency. And when you've got a consultant whispering in some of these candidates' ears saying that you never know what might happen, even our own Beto O'Rourke and Mr. Castro, Congressman Castro, and his brother down in San Antonio, they have not had necessarily the immediate blessing. You all have your day in the sun. The most important thing that Two most important things, though, that happened here nationally, I think, this week. You saw the state of Alabama pass a very, very pro-life bill. And it's fascinating. I was on the Lynn Woolley show the other day. As a lot of you listen, we have Lynn Woolley in our own studio here every now and then. And he asked me about the state of the pro-life, pro-abortion debate. And I describe it and am looking at it this way. Right now, you remember 3 months ago, how quick our memory fades. 3 months or so ago, at the beginning of the year, we were talking about the governor of Virginia who had actually stuck his foot in it and stepped in it and was talking about how abortion could be performed while a woman was in labor, or in the case that the baby came out before the woman had decided to have an abortion or not. They could talk about it afterward and then make a decision. Well, that was the left trying to go out and put their flag in the ground and claim some territory by getting some states to do things. Now this is the right in Alabama and Missouri and Kentucky and some other places. This is going to all clearly be going up to the Supreme Court. Get ready for it. It's probably going to take 4 or 5 or 6 years to have all this resolved, because people are going to be suing. People are going to be claiming things are constitutional or unconstitutional. And you just need to be getting ready for it. It's going to be a big part of the presidential election. Then there was Bill Barr, who asked Nancy Pelosi if she brought her handcuffs the other day when they ran into each other. So that's a little summary of the national from 30,000 feet scenario. And when we come back, we're going to visit with the Texas Taxpayers and Research Association, get into some of this. I think it's exciting. Texas budget and Texas legislative work with Dale Kramer right here on Talk 1370 and the Texas Insider Show. We'll be right back.
This is a story. Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
John Randall, the king and I, and the catcher in the right. Eisenhower vaccine, England's got a new queen. Marciano Liberace, Santa Ana, goodbye.
We didn't start the fire.
Oh, good job there, Dalen. A little Billy Joel. We didn't start the fire, folks, but we can darn sure... I don't know that we'll fan the flames on it, but we'll darn sure look at it and analyze it and have some fun talking about it. And appreciate you joining us, coming back into the second quarter of the Texas Insider Show this weekend. Little rainy, overcast forecasted for the afternoon, but we got a little, we didn't start the fire, but we're going to talk about it. And when that instance, I'm talking about the Texas legislature right now. They're down to the last handful, 7, 8, 9 days since the stroke of the clock at midnight on Memorial Day next Monday. 10 days is when the session ends. And by and large, I'm sometimes accused of being optimistic to a fault, and I'm going to continue to think that the glass is half full, not half empty. But we have one of the state's preeminent budget and tax policy experts with us, Dale Kramer from the Texas Taxpayers and Research Association. You've been helping us chronicle and follow this session all session long. Dale, really appreciate your help and effort this session, and appreciate you coming back in today.
Not at all, Jim. It's always a pleasure to be here on a Saturday afternoon with the best read man in America.
There you go. I appreciate that. We're always trying to get things up on the TexasInsider.org website. And that is included, as a matter of fact. I'll thank you also, because we've got what we're calling the Kramer series. You and I started that about 6 months ago, getting ready for the legislative session to try and set some expectations, to set some parameters, to set some facts out there, and to make sure that folks knew kind of what was going on ahead of time. And then as it's laid out here, what's going on during the session. And you and I were talking coming up to the studio. I didn't even realize it, and that's why we have experts like you. Be sure and check out Dale at ttara.org for Texas Taxpayers and Research Association. But I didn't even know. Here we were all, I think, most of the Austin lobby and political community was planning on being in session the last two weekends of the session, which would be this weekend and last weekend, and you tell me that they're not even in its session today. What happened?
Well, they finished their work early. The House had a big agenda to work through today, but they decided they were going to work late into the night, and they finished last night. Members are going home for the weekend. Now, the Senate's going to come back tomorrow afternoon.
Okay.
So if you are looking for entertainment tomorrow night, turn in your cable station to the Senate channel and watch the debate there. But as you pointed out, we've got about a week to go.
Mm-hmm.
The legislature, the closing week is like nothing we've ever experienced. I mean, think of, harken back to college, it's like finals on steroids.
Oh, good analogy.
The time will move exponentially, as it always does. The legislature has a few things yet to get done, but this has been an incredibly workmanlike session,
mm-hmm.
very productive session. Hasn't made for much good press
mm-hmm.
because there hasn't been a great deal of controversy. Members have been working together on their priorities, and they're getting things done.
Imagine that, legislative bodies actually doing something, and as you said, a workhorse session. I've looked back and dug up the numbers from earlier in the session. There's certain what we're hoping to kind of educate you, or at least mention and get out there on the table with you listeners today. There are certain thresholds and stop and start gates for the legislature to go through. And Dale, I went back and looked at March 10th, or somewhere thereabouts, I think it was the 16th maybe, was the last day for bills to be introduced. And as of that drop dead date, there were 7,085 bills filed for this legislative session. 4,641 were in the House and 2,444 were in the Senate. And now what we're looking here at the end of the session is that there was a deadline for bills to be heard in the House. That was last week. Now, this coming week, there's deadlines for Senate bills to be sent over to the House. And then there's a threshold this next week for Senate bills to be voted on in the House. Tell us what you kind of see coming up this week as we're going into the home stretch. Maybe we got property tax reform, school finance, we got the budget are the big issues, but there's some other ones out there that I know you're going to be focused on and working on that are important to all Texans.
Absolutely. And the truth of the matter is there's only one bill the legislature actually has to pass.
Okay.
That's the budget. If we don't have a budget in place, then government shuts down, which may or may not be a good thing depending on
right.
your perspective. But right. The reality is the legislature has to pass a budget. Everything else is poetry. The good news is there's an awful lot of poetry this session that's going to be very positive for folks. You mentioned a couple of those. I'll summarize it. This legislative session is easy as 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
House Bill 1, Senate Bill 2, and House Bill 3. House Bill 1 is the budget. That's pretty well put together. We'll talk about the numbers here in a minute.
Yes.
But the conference committee is pretty much done with its work, and that bill will go to the floor.
Okay.
So the good news is the must-pass legislation is largely done. As far the things that are going to more directly impact some of us, Senate Bill 2 is a big property tax reform bill. That
okay.
bill, the conference committee is pretty much nearing completion on that, but that's going to provide us with strong restrictions on local property tax growth, plus an incredibly transparent system where you're going to be able to look at your property tax bill and see exactly which jurisdictions are raising your taxes by how much and how you can contact those jurisdictions and let them know what your thoughts on that on those tax increases are.
And that's in the day and age of the internet. It's going to help us all do that.
You know, the property tax, let's face it, it's an archaic 17th century tax, but we are bringing it up to the modern era. We're putting real-time information on the internet so you can see exactly what the jurisdictions you live in want to do to your pocketbook.
Okay.
And it gives you a way to communicate with them easily.
Okay.
So, you know, for a process guy like me,
mm-hmm.
This is the stuff I live for.
Yes.
There is nothing more dangerous to our political environment than a well-informed voter.
Amen.
And that's what we're going to be able to do with Senate Bill 2.
Okay, good.
Final piece, House Bill 3 of the big bills, that's the education bill. That bill provides additional state money that's going to be used to buy down local school taxes. Now, that's a little bit of a disconnect because what shows up as an increase in state spending is actually money that is trading for local property tax dollars.
And I was going to ask about that because there's these phrases, compression, the word you just mentioned, buy down, basically, correct me if I'm wrong, refers to the idea that in the past, the state has contributed about 50% of the check or the revenue for your local education and your property taxes have paid for the other 50%. However, that's gotten out of whack in the last 5 or 6 or 7 years where the local is up to 65 or thereabouts and the state's down to 35, and they're going to level those things out, which means when the state spends more money, the local property taxes can be quote unquote buy down, correct?
Bought down or compressed,
yes.
I guess is the term of art.
Yes.
The reality is the seeds of a big part of our property tax problem is
okay.
located in all the school finance lawsuits that we have had.
Amen to
that. We have had a very equitable system of school finance. We have a very equitable system in place. But here's how it works. The state looks at the property wealth of a district
okay.
relative to the number of students. And in Austin, we have a lot of property wealth, but not that many students relative to that. So we're what's called a property wealthy district. And
compared to Laredo or something.
Absolutely.
Or Amarillo.
And as a result, through Robin Hood or recapture, a big portion of the Austin Independent School District taxes we pay end up going to the state who redistributes them.
That's called Robin Hood.
Absolutely. Now, in a snapshot, we have an incredibly equalized system because Laredo and Austin schools get exactly the same amount of money for the same tax rate.
So per student.
Recapture, as distasteful as it is, does create an equitable system of funding. But here's the problem. Just through normal economic growth,
mm-hmm.
your values are going to rise.
Yes.
And
which is a good thing we all want.
Absolutely. And the state looks at that and historically says, okay, district, you're now wealthier than you were last year, So because you're now wealthier, we're going to give you less state aid. Mm-hmm. So a big part of the property tax problem has been, as values rise, state aid is being reduced and schools aren't able to cut taxes. Now, we're looking at a game changer in House Bill 3.
Really?
Because for the first time, the legislature is likely to put in place a mechanism that as property values rise, instead of the state sending less money to those districts, mm-hmm. the state's going to say, districts, we're going to send you the same amount of money you got last year, but that extra money you're getting from rising values, instead we want you to use that to compress or cut your property tax rates.
And require them to do it.
But give them the state money so that they're not harmed. Mm-hmm. So as a result, if your values in a district are going up by 6%, we're going to say, hey, take a big part of that 6%, maybe anything over 2.5%, and use that to reduce your tax rates. So what happens is it's not going to cut our taxes necessarily overnight, but it's going to stop this never-ending spiral where year in and year out, we see our property tax bills going up.
Okay, Dale Kramer, an economist who's got me really on the edge of my seat here. This is exciting stuff. And Dale, that's the 1-2-3s of it. As you said, we're going to have to take a news break here at the bottom of the hour, but let's keep going on this exciting legislative session with the Texas Taxpayers and Research Association. Dale Kramer talking about the Texas legislature and what's getting done down there on the Texas Insider Show. We'll be right back after the news and talk more Texas politics.
Just as I thought it was going all right, I found out I'm wrong when I thought I was right. It's always the same, it's just a shame, that's all. I could say day and you'd say night.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Good job there, Dalen. A little Los Lonely Boys coming back into the second half of the Texas Insider Show. I'm Jim Cardle. We appreciate you joining us on a little piece of heaven here in Austin, Texas, the nation's 11th largest city, as I always like to say. Rain or shine, we're lucky to be here. We got problems because the economy's going too well, and that leads to some chattering and some questioning, but it looks like the legislature's working things out, and we're visiting today with Texas Taxpayers and Research Association President Dale Kramer on the whole Texas legislative issue and accomplishments. But be sure and check us out, folks, texasinsider.org, any day, every day, when you want, where you want, how you want. We're always keeping you on the inside of Texas and national politics at texasinsider.org. We got about 10 or 15 articles any given day up there to let you see what's going on in Texas and national politics. And Dale Kramer, I want to keep going because this is, we could go for 2 or 3 hours on this, and I really appreciate your comments there, for the 1, 2, 3 for us TCU and for the Left Coast and the Aggie listeners that are in the listening audience. But you're talking about some of the major changes that are happening there before the break, about how taxes are actually going to be going down if things come to fruition here like we're thinking. I'm looking back at some of the articles that you've written for Texas Insider as part of the Kramer series. Back here on February 8th, the Kramer series, part 4, said that SB 2 property tax reform has 3 basic pillars. And the second sentence there in your article said, this is the most far-reaching property tax legislation we've seen since 1979.
Absolutely.
Talk about that. The reason I want to talk about that is because, particularly, I call them the unstable libertarians, but there's a lot of chatter on the internet, scatological in nature, a lot of negative focus that the elected officials we put in office aren't doing the job we elected them to, and they're breaking their promises. And it was all with, you know, eons to go in the session. And now here we are, and it looks like they may accomplish it.
Yeah, I think things are coming together pretty well. I think the session started with everyone pretty much on the same page. And then as the House and Senate go off on their separate ways and work on bills, you know, they'll take different paths. But then ultimately, they all have to come together. And I think we were talking about this earlier. It's interesting that we'll see, commentators criticizing one house, criticizing the governor.
Oh, yes.
Or criticizing, you know, someone in the process.
The House or the Senate. Or...
And, you know, I don't get wrapped up in that, because at the bottom line, all three entities have to agree, the House, the Senate, and Governor Abbott. They have to come to an agreement on a package that they can all live with.
Mm-hmm.
And we get distracted by this sideline noise, oh, the Senate's doing this or the House is doing this.
And, isn't that the truth?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, you know, what makes newspaper headlines in February and March ultimately probably doesn't make much policy in May. I mean,
right.
In truth, in May, everyone gets together on the same page, and generally we can be pretty pleased with the results, because this legislature is fiscally conservative across the board, and I think we're going to end up with a package that's good for taxpayers. Now, I will say the odds are we're not going to see our property taxes going down.
Okay.
You know, we had a failed attempt at a sales tax swap that we may talk
couple
about
weeks
here
ago,
in a minute.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the property tax is a $60 billion beast. It's increasing about $4 to $5 billion a year.
Okay.
It takes a lot of money to throw at the property tax to make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're going to get out of this session is strong constraints on the ability of those property taxes to go up. So, you know, we're all used to year in and year out, especially living in Austin, you know, where the city likes to drive up its tax rates
yes,
as
sir.
Much as possible. We're all living with, you know, probably 8 to 10% property tax increases every year. Good news is those increases are probably going to drop down to around 3 to 4%.
And the other point I always like to make, because Texas, we don't realize how lucky we are and how fortunate we are right now to be living in this day and age where the growth is so strong and so exponential and so built for long-term continuation. Because the point is that how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Just because we don't get everything we want. You never get everything that you want in a legislative session, and they've started a couple sessions ago. I know you folks have been working on this for a decade, and you're probably going to be working on it, and we'll make more progress next session.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the property tax is a $60 billion beast.
Which is amazing. Out of our $110 billion state budget, $60 billion of it.
Wow. Well, and that shows up on the books of local governments. I mean, it's
yes.
the state. The fascinating thing is,
I got you.
The property taxes sucked all the air out of the room this legislative session, as state lawmakers and the governor of this state work to address this issue. However, the state does not levy a property tax. It's levied by local governments.
Mm-hmm.
So what legislators can do, while they can't set property tax rates, they do set the process by which local governments have to operate to adopt those tax rates. And they're going to create a much more transparent process for us.
Well, let's talk about that, because I know you've mentioned our local Travis County tax assessor, I can't remember exactly.
Maria Krigler.
Okay, well, I got it right then. I wanted to mention her name because I know she's been a great help to you and to the legislators this session. But talk about the transparency. We've talked before, and maybe not even necessarily the transparency, but I want to encourage folks and reinforce what you've said in the times you've been on this show. People get their tax appraisal rate here in April, and that's what your property is worth. But in a mathematical equation, there's the property value, and then there's the tax rate that's set by local governments, and that comes up with your tax bill. And you've been educational from my perspective. Folks need to be watching the tax rate.
Absolutely.
And how that process is done.
Absolutely. And I think, it's a little unusual for a fiscal conservative to give a shout out to a chief appraiser.
Exactly.
But the reality is, if there is one misperception about our property tax bills that I will try to clear up every chance I get.
If you were king for a day.
If I was king for a day. Your appraisal does not determine your tax bill. Everyone gets upset when their appraisals go up. That should be the happiest day of the year.
That's right.
When you see the asset you own that is worth more than anything is going up in value. Mm-hmm. You should be jumping for joy when you get that appraisal. Mm-hmm. But what happens when jurisdictions adopt those tax rates that apply against that appraisal, that's when your tax bill is set.
Yes.
And that's why local officials want you to be mad about your appraisals. They want you to blame your chief appraiser for your rising property taxes. All the appraiser is doing is determining the base to which those tax rates apply. Those tax rates are set by your city council. They're set by your county commissioner's courts. They want to point the finger at your appraisal as the problem for your rising property taxes. They don't want you to understand that it's the tax rates they're adopting to fund the budgets to give them the money they want to spend. That's what's driving up your taxes,
and
not your appraisals.
And then you've got the MUDs, the utility districts, the hospital districts, of course, the ISD. And folks need to engage with these local elected officials.
Absolutely. And you know, a lot of people don't understand how many jurisdictions they're paying property taxes to. I mean, you may escrow your mortgage payments, and the escrow company may be handling your taxes for you. And as a result, it's all taken care of. You may not pay attention to it. But
exactly.
The reality is you pay more in property taxes than to just cities and counties and your school district. You got a bunch of special districts here in Austin. We have the hospital district. We have the junior college district, ACC.
Yes.
And the most informative thing you can do and will be able to do once this legislation passes, and actually in Travis County, you can do it because Maria Krigler has set up that system herself.
On
their website, where you can go online, you can see every single jurisdiction that is levying a tax against your property. You can pull up, you can see how much money you're paying to them. You can see how much more that is or less, if lightning ever strikes, than what you paid last year. So you can see how much each individual jurisdiction is raising your taxes, and it gives you a way to contact them.
And she's been one of the leaders in the state, correct me if I'm wrong,
She is, and the truth of the matter is, the simple political reality is the chief appraisers are very supportive of this because they want to disabuse you of this perception that they're the ones driving up your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
All they're doing is determining your values. Your tax bill is not set until those tax rates that the local jurisdictions use to fund their budgets are set. And that's where you need to pay your greatest amount of attention.
Okay, we've got a minute or so left here, Dale. We've been talking about the property tax angle of, as you started off, with the 1, 2, 3, one being the budget, two being property tax, three being school finance. We'll get that here after the break. But what should we look for this week on property tax votes? Do they know yet when it's going to when the votes are going to happen, or are they still working on things?
I expect we will most certainly see a vote on the property tax bill, and really on all these bills, by next Saturday.
By next Saturday.
They don't have a final agreement on Senate Bill 2, the property tax bill, or on the education bill yet, but those should be coming the next few days. I think if we see a newspaper headline on Thursday that they failed to produce a bill, at that point, then we start worrying.
Okay.
But, you know...
it's going to be a good week.
This is going to be an incredibly productive week.
Yeah. Okay, folks, Dale Kramer with the Texas Taxpayers and Research Association. Be sure and check him and them out at ttara.org. And when we come back, we'll talk about school finance and the budget and how things are proceeding in a constructive way right here on the Texas Insider Show. We'll be right back.
Such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dalen, you got me picking myself up off the floor. Little Toto, hold the line there. Coming back in for the last quarter of the Texas Insider Show. That's what we're talking about here today with the state legislature, talking about the budget, talking about property taxes, talking about 7 or 8 days left in the session. And holding the line is, I think, a pretty fair and accurate way if you really cut to the chase and don't have a little fiefdom to be building or don't have an inclination to misrepresent things and rile up your membership or the grassroots inappropriately, because the legislature has been doing some good things. But thanks for joining us for this edition of the Texas Insider Show. I'm Jim Cardle. We're here every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 1 high atop the Talk 1370 Right Choice Worldwide headquarters over here in West Austin, and we're visiting with the Texas Taxpayers and Research Association President Dale Kramer, one of the most well-regarded and rightfully so well-respected experts on tax and budget policy in the state. Dale, you started off with the Comptroller's Office as a young man. If I go to ttara.org, your website, the first thing I see here is that TTARA has been working on behalf of Texas taxpayers for 60 years, and congratulations on your leadership and your hard work this session, because it's never easy. And if I can, I want to get your thoughts here in the 10 minutes or so we got left. And that's on the budget, because if you look at the last three or four sessions, I've always said, whether it's Dan Patrick, a Tea Party conservative favorite, or Greg Abbott or Rick Perry, some of the others, for the last four or five sessions, every time the session ends, these guys say it is the most conservative session in the history of the state of Texas, whether it's your pro-life issues or your budget issues or some other thing that you care about, managing transportation. But yet all a lot of these guys get in the general public as a hot poke in the eye and a primary opponent. And one of the things that's really been impressive to me is the state budget. We start with the comptroller coming out at the beginning of the session. Glenn Hager said they had about $9 billion more to spend this session than the previous budget, and that's because of our economic growth, and it's a blessing. We should be thankful about it. But $9.1 billion more dollars this session, and yet the House started off spending less than everything they were given to spend. And if you believe what you see in some of the press and certainly on the internet, the legislature's accused of spending 16% more than they have, and that's based on, I think, an inaccurate reading, because you throw in a one-time expenditure for hurricane repair, which was necessary, a one-time expenditure for getting the Texas teachers' retirement system in alignment so that it's sound financially. You have a one-time expenditure for school safety and a couple other things. Let's talk about the Texas budget. You've been looking at it. You've been helping do this for a decade or decades. What's your read on the Texas budget this session?
You know, I think we're on the verge of putting in place a pretty strong and conservative budget. Now, that's an interesting thing, because okay, you hear these numbers thrown out, 16% mm-hmm. up, or, you know, 20% or 10% or whatever.
I know.
I don't get wrapped up in those numbers. And a part of that is just the mechanics of this budget. As you pointed out, we've got a lot of one-time things we're addressing, about $5 billion, including some infrastructure investment mm-hmm. for Hurricane Harvey. You know, that's money that we wouldn't be spending if we hadn't suffered through, in particular, our coastal areas, an incredible disaster.
Incredible.
We've got to address that.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's fiscally irresponsible, and it doesn't serve the people of the state to leave those needs unmet.
Exactly.
But that's one-time money. I mean, we can spend, and probably we'll roughly pull about $5 billion out of the rainy day fund to address that one-time unusual calamity. I don't get worried about, well, the budget's going up by $5 billion. Hey, we've got the $5 billion
yes.
cash in hand. It would be irresponsible not to use it. We're not raising taxes. It would mm-hmm. be irresponsible not to protect our coastal residents from the threats that they face.
Exactly.
In addition, the pension system, we'll put $1 billion or so into the pension systems because they're underfunded. They run the risk of being fiscally insolvent. Mm-hmm. We have got to protect our pensions. The good news is, you read about these pension disasters across the U.S.,
exactly.
Illinois, California in particular,
Detroit.
Come to mind. We're nowhere near that. But if we don't do this, we're going to be near that.
Exactly.
So the pension costs don't upset me. Also within that, interestingly, the way our budget works is, in order to reduce local property taxes, the state has to send that money to those districts,
okay.
the school districts.
Okay.
So we're talking about somewhere $3 to $5 billion of increased state spending that translates into lower property taxes. Do I get upset that the state's spending an
right.
additional $5 billion if it's going to save me $5 billion in property taxes? Absolutely not.
But yet the critics say, oh, that's more spending.
Yeah, and it is, but only because it's a mechanical way our budget
yes.
works.
Yes.
And then the interesting thing, too, is we're probably going to see a lot of self-congratulatory local politicians talk about the property taxes they cut, when in reality, at least on the school side, those property tax cuts really emanated from Austin.
From the state, yeah.
Yes.
So we talk about those one-time expenditures. There's the $116 billion that's the state budget in terms of dollars and revenue taken in by the state. Then you throw on top of that the federal dollars and the federal expenditures. You get up into the neighborhood of $250 billion at that point. But talk about just the $116 billion, because the comptroller comes out, he says we've got $119 billion to spend, and then the legislature goes back and forth. What are some of the differences that I guess were worked out? Because you said the budget's already done, and that's a pretty significant development or step to have gotten to at this point.
It is. The budget has pretty much set aside the amount of dollars that we're going to put into schools. Now, House Bill 3, the school bill, is going to sort of dot the I's and cross the T's and determine how much of that is going to go to property tax relief, how much of that's going to go to teacher pay. But the good news is, while folks may get wrapped up in the size of those numbers, the reality is the money that we're spending is money that we have in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's raising taxes. We're able to get ahead of these needs without raising taxes because we have been, you know, the legislature and the governor have been prudent stewards of our money. I'm going to ask a trivia question.
Okay.
When was the last time the state raised taxes?
Probably when they redid the finance or the franchise tax. That was maybe a reconnoitering, not a tax increase.
That was a rearranging the deck chairs. And actually, much as we may hate the franchise tax, that overall package actually cut taxes a little bit.
So I'm going to guess it's never.
Well, the last tax increase we had was 1990 when Bill Clements was governor. We bumped up the sales tax 0.25% in order to address issues with our school finance system
that
the courts were telling us to do. So
that's a long time ago.
29 years.
Yeah.
No other state has gone that long without a major tax increase.
I'm so glad you mentioned. So we can say that this is a conservative budget. It is
a continuation of years of fiscally conservative budgets.
Amen. Okay, folks, we're visiting with Texas and Taxpayer Research Association President Dale Kramer. You mentioned there, Dale, we got about 2.5 minutes left. Let's talk briefly about the property or the school finance, HB3, you mentioned there. It is the crossing the I's and crossing the T's and dotting the I's. What do you see in a general perspective to tell us about that? Three of the 1, 2, 3 we've been talking about.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a couple of differences that the House and Senate are working out. The Senate, they have approved a $5,000 across-the-board pay raise for teachers and librarians.
Big deal.
The House did not directly mandate that school districts provide that pay raise, but they gave school districts a similar amount of money so that the individual districts could make their decisions about how to direct that money.
And kind of front load it so it's an investment more than a reward, which I think is an important distinction.
Well, and, you know, regardless of what you may think about a $5,000 pay raise, the reality is we are in the tightest labor market you and I have ever experienced in our very long lives.
It's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
But tough for recruiting teachers.
It is tough to recruit teachers, and we want the very best educating our kids. So I don't get upset by that. I mean, I'm an economist. I think we have to realize that with the labor market the way it is, we're going to lose good teachers if we don't do something about it.
Okay.
So that's a part that they're working out. The other issue is the amount of property tax relief. They've got at least $3 billion that is going to be used to constrain future tax growth. So that's certainly a good number. Now, they may be able to squeeze some additional dollars. Controller Hager gave them another $500 million this week.
Yes.
They're going to try and find some other money. The school finance bill is probably the biggest bill that still has yet to have some issues worked out.
Okay. Well, Dale Kramer, golly, like I started the show saying, I'm going to be an eternal optimist. And I think it's accurate to say we got some good things going, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. Dale Kramer, be sure and check out Texas Taxpayers and Research Association at TTARA.org. Dale, really appreciate your time and your hard work on these issues.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Folks, be sure and join us next weekend at 12 o'clock right here on Talk 1370 for another edition of the Texas Insider Show. I'm Jim Cardle. Really appreciate you joining us this weekend and have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Tan toes tickling the sand, cold drink chilling in my right hand, watching you sleep.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.